T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jonathan Wells is here to take his medicine.
Let's do it. Listen, I'm a big boy. Let's go. Let's do it.
Well, I don't look at it that way, really. But anyway, listen, Hugh Jackson was fired, obviously. Todd Haley was fired as well. It was funny. I don't know if you were listening yesterday, but I had called Dustin on the way to work yesterday, and I said, you know what? I'd fire both of them. I'd fire Haley and Hugh, but I didn't think that would happen. And then it did, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. Because in the end, you know, we learned in the last couple of weeks that it appeared Todd Haley was undermining Hugh Jackson. And as much as I think Hugh Jackson was not a good coach and deserved to be fired, until he's not the coach, he's the head coach. And you can't undermine him if you're the OC. So I think he deservedly got fired as well.
And that was my problem the whole time with Todd Haley. Not to say that he's not a good coach, not to say that his resume isn't what it is, because he's had success at other places. But listen, when you come into this organization, you have to at least pay this man his respect until he's out of the door. And that's all I've been saying about Todd Haley. You know, obviously the record is what it is.
Yep.
I'm not mad that Hugh Jackson's fired. Didn't change my day one way or the other. This weekend when I watch the football game, I'm still going to be looking for the same things. Are guys catching open passes? Are they making field goals? Are they making tackles? I'm going to be looking for the same stuff that I watch who, regardless of who the coach is. So it doesn't change anything for me. I just want them to get it right this time. Let's hire
they
a
better.
Coach and get it right. That's all I care about.
Did you agree with the firing after what happened last week in Tampa Bay? Throwing Todd under the bus and then Todd kind of doing his own thing, kind of going rogue behind the scenes is what people have said. The dysfunction that was there. I believe, Jonathan, that this was solely done to sort of protect Baker and keep Baker out the BS.
Yes, if they weren't mature enough to be able to be in the same work environment without it, you know, leaking into the football team, then absolutely, both of them has to go. I would have been upset if they just would have fired Hugh and not Todd. I wanted both of them to go. I'll keep it real. I didn't want Todd to walk into this job because I think that's kind of what he thought or had in his mind, that they would fire Hugh and he would be able to just, you know, slide into the next seat and get the job. And, you know, I saw some things like that. But other than that, I'm glad that they got rid of both of them. Let's move forward. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to go to the parade for firing another coach. I'm going to go to the parade when they get the right coach.
That's right. Fair enough. Dustin, you and I felt yesterday was a really good day that they fired these guys. But the key now is, as we've talked about, Jimmy Haslam, stay out of the way of John Dorsey, because I believe John Dorsey is the only good hire compared to about 15 bad hires that Jimmy Haslam has made. Stay out of the way. And you got to have the right chain of command, Jonathan, Dustin. That's been the problem in this organization. You have coaches hired and then GMs hired. You have assistant coaches forced upon head coaches. That's never going to work. You need the GM to hire the coach. You need the coach to hire the assistants. And this way, everybody's in the right chain of command and everybody's more likely to be on the same page, which has not been the case here in forever.
Well, I've been saying it. I mean, I think that Jimmy Haslam, for the first time ever, should say, yeah, I'll give my stamp of approval on if I want to allow him to hire the guy, but I'm going to let him do the search and come to me when you got your guy. And then I'll basically say, cool.
Right.
I sign the checks.
Yeah, that seems to be the right thing for me. Like I said, John Dorsey is definitely capable. Like I said, I think it's the best GM they've had around here in quite some time. Alonzo Highsmith is another great guy, VP of scouting. I know that he knows talent. So they have people in the front office that can get this right finally. And like you said, if Haslam been a part of the problem, then he definitely needs to take a step back and let these guys do what they do, what you hired them to do, and put the roster together. They have a great start. They're moving in the right direction, which is my only point for saying that, okay, I see a little improvement, but with Hugh. There are a few kicks away, you know, stuff that we're not even going to get into, away from a couple wins that they could have had this year, and then we may not be having this conversation. But we are. And now that we're here, step back, let John Dorsey do what he does, and let's see if they can pick the right coach and move this thing in a different direction.
To me, the best owners or the best, you know, general managers or radio stations or whatever are people that hire competent people and then allow them to do their job. If you're constantly meddling, if you're too involved, I get it. You're the owner of the football team. You can do whatever the hell you want. You own the team. But if you want to be successful, I believe you can't. You got to know what you're capable of. You're not a football guy. Right. I think the Cowboys continuously fall on their face because Jerry Jones thinks he's a football guy. And yeah, I know they won Super Bowls, but that was when Jimmy Johnson put together those teams a million years ago. And as soon as Jerry Jones has started running the Cowboys personnel department, yeah, they've had some seasons where they made the playoffs, but they haven't won a squat. They won like one playoff game in 20 years.
Well, a lot of it all boils down to ego. And we saw that come to a head here with Tyron and Hugh. It was all an ego situation to where one didn't want to be told what to do. One, hey, I'm the head coach, is going to go my way or the highway. And we saw both of them got the highway. So at the end of the day, when you have a huge ego, that can definitely ruin an organization. And hopefully Haslam has learned from his past, and he finally got the guy in here to get it done.
Yeah. Now we got to hope. No trades by the Browns today. I actually think it was smart not to do anything. Especially, like, if they would have traded away guys that are not part of the future, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I just was not dying. I know they could use another receiver right now. And as I said before, and I don't know about you, Jonathan, but Dustin, I said, you know, the Seahawks just cut Brandon Marshall. I know he's 34 years old, but he's a veteran player who's a good locker room guy. I'd think about signing him. Now, he may want to go to a team that's a contender, so maybe it's not an option. But I'm glad they didn't make any trade where they're trading draft picks. I don't think today was a smart day for the Browns to start trading draft picks to get players.
I didn't really see anybody out there that would have made that kind of sense to give up some of your basic assets that you have. So I think sitting still right now, letting the rest of this season play out, you finally got rid of the coach that you wanted to get rid of. Let Greg step in and see what he can do the rest of the year. Hopefully they don't get Baker killed in the process.
Offensive line's been bad.
It's been bad since the beginning of the season.
Well, it's funny because
that's why they tried to save him, Noble. That's why they were trying not to play him this year. I think that was part of the reason.
All right, maybe, but if that were the case, then why did you say that?
Well, I guess you can't say everything that you want to say, but at the end of the day, I think as an organization, they knew they were going out here with an undrafted left tackle. I'm not going to throw my first pick in the draft behind this guy. The line is not as stout as we thought it would be. It's just not. And so to throw him out there, I think they were really trying to save him, give him a year, let him learn behind to ride. Things didn't work out that way. But now we're seeing, as the season goes on, guys get banged up. Guys figure you out a little bit. And now he's starting to take a real punishment out there, and they were trying to save him from that.
I do think he's getting important lessons in the NFL. I think he's playing. He's getting that opportunity. He is getting beaten up. You don't want to see him get seriously hurt. I get it. But, you know, it's funny, before Hugh Jackson got fired, I was on the phone with Dustin yesterday. I said, you know, we've spent so much time talking about Hugh Jackson, and in my opinion, deservedly so. But the players, I was planning on crushing the players yesterday, too, because there's a lot of guys that deserve some blame. Hugh Jackson deserved to be fired. He's gone. But Todd Haley deserved to be fired. He's gone. And there's a lot of players that need to play better. Now listen.
They're all on notice now.
Yeah, I'm not going to be too hard on a rookie because rookies are going to have up and downs.
Right.
But you know, if you're not a rookie, like there's a lot of guys. But the one thing I will say, even for rookies, you got to be working hard out there.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen Jamie Collins not working hard at times. We've seen some of these wide receivers not working hard at times. That's inexcusable. I don't care. I don't care what year you're in. You always should be working hard.
You know that. You know, you guys call me the Hugh Jackson. Apologist.
Yeah.
But no, if you listen to what I've been trying to say, I'm holding the players accountable. That's it. When I'm looking at it, I'm like, Jabril, you're a first round draft pick. You can't fumble the ball going in on a 50-yard line to potentially win the game. These things you can't do, and those type of things I can't blame Hugh Jackson for. That's all I was saying.
And that's fine, but the point was.
That was my point before. I want the players to do what they need to do.
But the players can be criticized and the coach can be criticized.
Absolutely.
Don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Players get coaches fired.
That's right. That's it.
We get that. But me, when I'm watching the game, I'm always going to be, what are the players doing?
Yeah.
Come on, guys, make routine plays. Stay on sides. Don't hold. These are things that we've been knowing since we were 7 years old.
All fair. but you can't win 3 out of 40 games.
Fair enough.
That's it.
And that's why he's going today.
That's why he's gone.
And I don't have a problem with it. It's okay.
Can't win 3 out of 40, and you got to play better. And that's it. And the kicker's got to kick better. And then all this stuff. And you got to be smarter out there, both as a team, as a coaching staff, as players. Everybody's got to play smarter. Everybody's got to have more attention to detail. And that's been a problem. That's been not just with Hugh Jackson. It's been a problem for a lot of regimes.
Right.
You know, the best coaches in the league are on top of everything. And they hire the right people under them and let them do their jobs. And those guys are on. They coach. They talked about it last night on the broadcast about how, like, Bill Belichick is the best at a lot of things, but he's good at coaching the coaches. I think the great head coaches are that. They're like, hey, I want this guy to be a great coach too. It's not just about my ego. It's about making the other. And that wasn't happening. There was everybody was kind of out for themselves here.
I think,
and that was a problem.
That's a great point, Adam. I think when you have a great coach, you don't care who gets the credit. You don't. And you are happy to push guys along. If some other young coach, you want him to progress. I mean, that's that. You're right with Belichick. He does that all the time.
That's right.
All the time.
He advocates for his guys, and he pushes them hard. He's tough on them, but he gets the best out of them.
Urban does that, too, with his coaches.
We're talking about secure coaches. You know, Hugh Jackson was far from secure.
No,
so
true.
When you have an older veteran coach who steps into the OC position and feels he's better than you, even though his head record didn't say – I mean, his coaching record didn't say that, but in his mind, he thinks he's so much better or he knows so much more than you, that can be frustrating as a head coach.
Well,
and I can see how this could come to an end.
His record was better.
Not much. And in
Kansas
City?
Well, he went to the playoffs.
Yeah, he won 10 games 1 year. He won 8 games in his first season.
Yeah, but he did go to the playoffs. It was better.
It was a little bit. he got ran out of Dodge.
Right.
Soon after that.
And you got fired after 1 year.
But that wasn't his fault. 8-8 was, come on, that's a good record for a season.
No.
Because a new regime came in.
He didn't deserve to be fired based on his record.
Right. They came in and they wanted to switch it up. So that's fine. That's cool.
But he threw people under the bus in Oakland, and you can't do that. And that's the bottom line. You want to say.
I think we probably disagree with some of the throwing people under the bus. I think some of it's facts. But I think as a head coach, you can't say things at press conferences.
You can't do that.
So,
he threw Sashi Brown under the bus. He threw Ray Horton, the former defensive coordinator, under the bus.
These are facts that I wouldn't know. So I'm going to take you guys' word.
All right, 216-578-0092 if you want to jump in with us. Jonathan's hanging out with us for the rest of this hour. Just mentioned Terrell Pryor, guys. He's going to sign with the Bills today, according to Josina Anderson of ESPN. The Bills are in the big. I mean, they are in a bigger mess than the Browns were last year at quarterback, which is hard to be, but they are. Josh Allen gets hurt. They signed Derek Anderson, who's played about 5 games in the last 7 years, off the street, and their backup Nathan Peterman is so bad that he started. He played against the Patriots, and he gets hurt last night, concussion. Nathan Peterman's going to start. They're going to sign. I mean, I'm kind of half joking, but I know Terrell Pryor hasn't played quarterback in a few years, but he can't be worse than Nathan Peterman.
Well, you would think not, but I hope that they don't put Terrell in that situation where he has to try to walk in there and be a QB. You know, for his career and moving forward, I hope that he just continues to focus on wide receiver, continues to get better, and hopefully he lands somewhere where he can stick. But as far as him going in there trying to save them and be the quarterback, I hope they don't do that to him.
I mean,
that's not happening.
It wouldn't be the terrible thing to maybe one gadget play have him.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But not it's not fair to make him And what's funny, interesting is the Bills' defense is not bad. Like they played pretty well last night defensively. I mean, they shut down Brady.
Field goal fest. I mean,
yeah,
Brady couldn't find the end zone.
Right, their defense has been decent. They've won 2 games. They beat Minnesota, but their offense is a disaster. And especially now with their rookie, and now they got to go back to Peterman. But anyway, it is weird that Terrell Pryor had that one decent year here, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's been hurt a lot since he's been gone.
See the sex toys last night?
I saw that. That's becoming like a Buffalo tradition.
It's a tradition when they play the Patriots because they can't beat them, and
so they throw sex toys
on the field.
Are you kidding?
No, they do that.
They do. Yeah,
the Bills fans throw. Yeah.
It's like a whole thing.
They must really be bored.
You would think, of all cities to not throw sex toys, it would be Buffalo. That seems like the least sex toy NFL town. Either Buffalo or Green Bay.
Nah, those are the boring cities, so they're probably getting in.
No, but they're a little more, uptight, those cities. A little more...
Undercover. I don't know.
I expect that in, New York or L.A. or Philly or Boston. Maybe not Boston.
Wait, twist an ankle on one of those things. Picture it. Picture it in your head right now.
Well, remember what Jordan Matthews said before he went back to Philly. He was with Buffalo for a while, and he said that he got his wife pregnant during that, and he said that was the only thing to do around there.
I told you. Yeah. Those cities where there's nothing to do, man, you'll be surprised what's going on.
But wait a second. What can't you do in Buffalo that you can do here?
Not sure. I haven't spent a lot of time in Buffalo.
Yeah, but, I mean, but people say that about Cleveland.
Nah, I like Cleveland. Listen, if you want to get into some things in Cleveland, there's things to do in Cleveland.
Yeah, there's a lot more to get into in Cleveland.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I'll occasionally, one of my friends from New York will be like, what do you do in Cleveland?
Well, that's New York. That's two different things.
New York's just got more choices of each thing, more options, but you could do anything here, and you could probably do anything. You know, this is a bigger city than Buffalo, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's less to do in Buffalo, but you could still do most things you want to do. You know, I mean, you could do most things, except the weather stinks. But the weather stinks here in the winter, too.
I love the weather here.
You like the cold?
I do.
You're a raging
Cajun, man.
I never saw snow until I got to college.
Snow?
Yeah, I love it.
I hate snow.
I love it. It only lasts a couple months. No big deal.
No big deal.
It's not going to – I'm not going to be shutting off the heat. My wife is always cold, so we got to have the heat on all the time. I'm not going to shut off the heat till May. I hate that. It stinks. It's really the only thing I don't like about Cleveland is that the time of year where you don't need heat or air conditioning is very minimal. I feel like I go from air conditioning, and then it's off for a week, and then I got the heat on. You know? The summers here are the best, though. Summers here are the best. But anyway, you like snow. That's fine. Last thing on Terrell Pryor is that he will it's actually not a bad team for him to end up on because they got no wide receivers.
Exactly. You have a chance to make some plays. Yeah.
They'll get an opportunity there. Any of the trades stand out to anybody today, guys? I mean, like the Packers traded away a couple of guys.
The Ty Montgomery thing is interesting, though, because this guy was their top back or one of their top backs.
Briefly,
and now he is this like dysfunction and they trade him away because
for nothing, basically. Yeah.
Packers are a mess. McCarthy's getting fired, I think.
Where are they traded him to?
Baltimore,
yeah.
Wow.
Did you see what happened there?
I saw what happened, but to trade him, I mean, well, after I saw his interview about how he felt about the guys in the locker room, I think this was the best move for them to make because there was going to be some tension, and I don't know how long that was going to last. So I think if they had to get rid of him, it was the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, it was. And it was weird. I just don't see where he fits in Baltimore. They don't have a great back, but that what's his name? Javorius Allen. I'm drawing a blank on his nickname.
Buck.
He's a good pass-catching back, and that's what unless they want to move Montgomery back to wide receiver, he was a wide receiver. That's why he always looks bizarre there with his 88 in the backfield. Although the Patriots did that with, I just forgot his name. What's his name? The wide receiver was playing, Cordarrelle Patterson was playing running back for them last night. So, I don't know. Some teams are more creative than others. Yeah, when you have an issue in the backfield. But, I don't know, the Rams are going for it. They traded for another pass rusher. They already got good pass rushers. That's a good team.
Listen, the Rams are making all the right moves right now. But, you know, as we know, those loaded rosters don't add up to Super Bowls sometimes. So we'll see. But they're making all the right moves right now.
Yeah.
In the moment. They're not playing for the future. They're playing for right now. So I admire them going out and getting as much talent as they can to try to get a Super Bowl this year.
I think of all the trades that were made in the last week, I think the best trade to me for the teams that were buying players.
You're going to say Demaryius Thomas, aren't you?
Was Demaryius Thomas. I think that was the best trade because Dustin and I were arguing about this before.
So they gave up, a fourth for
him? They gave up a fourth round pick for Demaryius Thomas.
Wouldn't you have given up a third right now?
If you're the Browns?
Yes.
I mean, you got him signed through next year, I guess, but that's a big deal. But you wouldn't have had to give up a three, because the Texans gave up a four, and the Browns four is going to be higher than the Texans four. So you would have probably been able to give him up for a four, but I would have liked that, but whatever. I'm fine with them not making any trades right now. But, guys, they got him. Demaryius Thomas, I know he's a little older. He's like 31 or whatever. He is still a highly productive wide receiver. You got him signed through next year. And as I said, next year they'll have Hopkins, him, and Will Fuller if he's healthy. Good luck with that, dealing with that wide receiving crew.
Yeah, they got
a sweet bunch.
They look like they got something rolling down there in Houston, man. I was supposed to be back down there last week. They had all the former players back, but I didn't make it because I couldn't walk. But
what happened with you? We didn't know. I didn't know you were in the hospital.
Yeah, man. I got
what happened, man?
Bad arthritis.
Oh, you're a mess.
Gout flare-ups all over my body. I woke up and just couldn't walk. I've been in bed for about 5 days. Jeez. So it's been rough.
Feeling better?
I'm a little better. I'm limping around.
Hang in there.
I'm here.
That's tough. You got somebody taking care of you?
Oh, absolutely. Hell,
yeah. That's good. That's what you need. That's what you need. But anyway, right. The trade. So there you go. So I don't know. I like Demaryius Thomas. I like Demaryius Thomas more than Amari Cooper. I know Cooper's younger and has more upside, but I like the guy who's actually producing week in and week out. And Demaryius Thomas does that. And by the way, Amari Cooper's had Derek Carr, who's not a great quarterback, but is a good quarterback.
Yeah, pretty good.
Who the hell has Demaryius Thomas had since Peyton Manning left? They had Paxton Lynch. They have Case Keenum. They had, what was his name, Trevor Siemian, a bunch of scrubs.
Bunch of scrubs.
Yeah. So
would have been a nice fit here. But I said, I think the Browns have had enough shock value for the moment.
Yeah, right.
And I think they just want to sit on it, let the rest of the season play out, like I said, and then, you know, start fresh, you know, next year.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is a good time in Cleveland, and they can take off from here.
Yeah, the Browns, listen, the good thing about the draft this year for the Browns, and we haven't really talked much draft. Usually we're full into it by now, and we haven't really been. But the good thing, I think, for the Browns is there have been so many years where you're like, the Browns have to take a quarterback. They have to take a quarterback. They have to take. And now the Browns could truly go into this draft and just take the guy they think is the best player. Because, you know, obviously you're not going to take a quarterback. And you're not going to take a running back because there'd be no point in that. But really, any other position.
Nick Bosa.
Well, but we don't know if he's going to be available. If they have the, are you assuming the Browns have the first pick in the draft?
They'll be top three.
They're sixth right now. They could very well end up top three.
If they're top three.
Yeah, I'm all on board with taking Nick Bosa.
You're going defense, huh?
I'm going best player available. And all the people that do this for a living. All the people that are the draft Knicks, the draft gurus, are all saying that like 90% of the top 10 picks are defensive players. So I'm taking, you know what? If I'm going to put Nick Bosa on the other side of Myles Garrett,
that's all I'm saying.
You can never have enough good pass rushers.
That's all that sounds like. That's a good recipe to me.
I'm good with that. You know,
I'm probably going to go another pass rusher if I could.
Yeah.
I mean, even though Ogba's good,
but you can move him. You can move him.
Move
in.
Him around.
Yeah, move
and
him
you can
in.
Rotate. These guys aren't out there all. You rotate eight or nine guys on the defensive line at times.
You look at the Rams. They got a bunch of guys. Oh, yeah. They rotate. They have a bunch of guys. They just added another. You can never have enough. They need help on the offensive line. They need help at wide receiver.
Linebacker.
A linebacker, certainly. And you can never have enough good corners. Just like you can never have enough good pass rushers, you can never have enough good corners. So the outside of quarterback and running back, and obviously with a top 10 pick, you're not going to take a tight end. But outside of that, offensive line, wide receiver, or anything on defense – is available for the Browns in the first round. And I'm not saying they should draft somebody, or if they do, very late. One of the biggest priorities this offseason is getting a real kicker. They have to get a legitimate kicker.
That would be great.
And the Browns are so far under the cap, I'd go get, like, because I think there's a couple of the good NFL kickers that are going to be free agents. I'd go spend a lot of money on a kicker. Do it.
Why not?
It's so underrated. I know we kind of laugh at kickers.
It's not underrated. Kickers
it's huge.
Kickers win and
our
lose
kicker,
games.
Greg Joseph, if he misses one more kick, he's done.
They should cut him already. I mean, I'd be moving on
from
him, too. He's a
rookie. And things are only going to get tougher, guys. The weather conditions are going to become colder and windier.
That's right.
At First Energy, we've got back-to-back weeks here, and these are vital games where kicking could be a factor. You know, the Falcons are coming up here from their dome. They're not going to be used to kicking these conditions. Go out and get a veteran kicker who you can trust. That's what I would do for the rest of this season.
Yep.
Greg's seems like a nice young man. He's a rookie out of FAE. Again, kicker from Florida. In Cleveland.
I think that Harrison Butker of the Chiefs, who's missed one kick all year as a free agent, he might be a restricted free agent. But there's a couple of guys, whatever. I mean, listen, there's a lot of holes. The team has improved talent-wise from last year, but you still got ways to go. They need depth all over the place. Do you think, I think Chris Hubbard's looking really bad at right tackle. That's looking like a bad move by Dorsey. The left tackle's a rookie, but you know what? He's undrafted, so it's not like they have to stick with him just because he was a rookie. I think both tackles, and I think they can get better at center, too.
Yeah. I mean, the offensive line as a whole, like I said,
next year.
Yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement, it's going to be very interesting here. You know, obviously, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about this with the draft being a while off.
Yeah.
But they gotta focus in on what they gotta do this year. And right now, the Kansas City Chiefs coming into town.
Oh boy,
boy, boy, boy.
Is Tyreek Hill definitely playing? Because I know he got hurt last week. I haven't seen an update.
I don't know.
I saw
the line's 10 though.
They have him as questionable.
It's up to 10?
10 this morning.
Oh my God, 10-point dog at home.
That makes sense.
17 on the road.
The Chiefs. Here's the interesting thing. First of all, their offense is ridiculous, and Patrick Mahomes. In what's his, you know, he played one game last year. He looks like an absolute superstar. And Tyreek Hill is as dangerous a wide receiver, especially in terms of the speed receivers. Kareem Hunt is a stud. I don't care what anybody says about Gronk anymore. I would take Travis Kelce over any tight end in football, at least in terms of pass catching.
Mm-hmm.
So you got arguably the best tight end in football, the best speed receiver in football, one of the best running backs in football. You know, they got some other pieces that are nice, a good offensive line, and their defense has played a little better. They don't. That's the thing now. With the way the game is, you don't have to be great defensively to win. You just got to be solid.
Yeah, you just got to be solid.
Right, you know?
But that's what happens. You know, that's why the Browns are in the situation they're in. Their defense has been really good enough but their record doesn't show it. With the amount of turnovers that this defense has forced,
Their
record has to be better. And that's the problem. They have not been able to score touchdowns. Yeah. And moving forward, I don't know how that's going to change. I don't know how they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, the defense, it's been weird because obviously they've given up a ton of yardage, but they have forced a million turnovers. If you look at teams that have a turnover margin that they have, historically, all those teams make the playoffs. A lot of those teams have won Super Bowls, and they have two wins. It's crazy. And a lot of the dysfunction... A lot of it is inexperience and poor play on offense.
Losing becomes habit. And they
a lot of it's
find
excuse making.
Ways to lose. I'm telling you, Bull, when the players started bitching about the officials,
you knew it was
downhill. Came from the top.
Yeah.
It came from Hugh. Players can't do that. I mean, you can feel like, oh, we got a bad call here or there. But when the coach starts to make excuses about it, then the players.
When
the
did
players
you
always
when
follow
did, when,
the
when
coach.
Did you see? I get two different things with him because some people say he should have been complaining more. He should have been getting penalties to defend his team.
Yeah.
I didn't see him defend the penalties at all. I thought he brushed it under the rug.
I liked what Greg Williams said a week ago. He said, listen, man, everyone gets bad calls. We can't complain about the calls. Calls are what they are. We got to do our job no matter what.
Agreed.
If you start thinking about the calls, it gets in your head.
That's right. And you start thinking everybody's out. When you start having an attitude, they're out to get me. Why is the league out to get the Browns? Come on, that's just silly. We spoke with Doug Lamorese earlier, and he talked about Urban Meyer's cyst and the medical condition. Yeah. It's causing him pain on the sidelines. And this is a really wild situation that he finds himself in. And you wonder, I know he said he's coming back. You wonder if it gets that bad, if he might retire at the end of this year.
I hope that he does what his daughters asked him to do. And steps away from the game, man. I mean, he's had a great run.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that serious. When you have to take knees on sidelines because of excruciating pain, you've had brain surgery. Like, come on, Irv's not that serious, buddy. Let Ryan Day take over this thing.
You've won. Yeah. You've made a ton of money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that serious for me.
Yeah.
And I knew something was wrong. I didn't even know he had surgery until I heard this report, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah.
So when I heard that, and now I'm starting to put everything together, I'm like, oh, come on, Urban. No, that's really putting a lot at risk when it comes to your family. I know you love the game and all of that, but come on, it's not that serious.
Can't put it above your life.
Right, right.
You think if he retires that Ryan Day should just take over, they shouldn't do a full search? Because you would think anybody in America, like, it's
of course.
The outside of maybe Alabama, it's the premier job in college sports.
You can do a search, but I think, you know, with the job Ryan Day did, whether we want to give him credit for that or not, I think he's already in position. I think he'll have the leg up, but I still think that you go out and do a search.
I think you do. A couple of these names we're talking about for the Browns, like Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell, would probably be, especially Matt Campbell, could be a guy that Ohio State would look at.
Potentially so. I don't know much about Matt Campbell besides what I've heard Dustin talk about.
Yeah,
stud.
You seem to like him. That would be a good hire for the Browns. You're comfortable standing on that?
Let me tell you this right now. I got a text today from a Division I coach who saw me on the Colin Cowherd show say Matt Campbell's name.
Right.
No names. The coach. He said, you're 100% right on Matt. The guy is special. Rival coach.
But as I said before, ultimately, guys, like when you're picking a coach, you're just you're making an educated guess. You never know. As much as I've killed Hugh Jackson, I loved the hiring at the time. I thought it was going to be a good hiring. But you, guy could be a great assistant coach. We've seen Wade Phillips, as good an assistant coach as there is. Every time he's been a head coach, he's flopped. Norv Turner, great assistant coach. Every time he's been a head coach, he's flopped. There's no, like, you can't say, well, assistant coaches, are if they're good, they're going to. You never know. You're guessing, and you just got to hope that John Dorsey makes the right guess. Right?
And I know Sean McVay is the hot guy now, but nobody could have.
Nobody knew it?
Nobody knew this.
We all want now our Sean McVay.
Yeah, now everybody wants
but you
that
didn't
next
know it?
Guy, but. That
when
guy
he got
came,
hired, we weren't like, yeah, you know, the Rams fans are sure weren't jumping for joy. They didn't know.
Right. So, you know, like you say, this is an educated guess.
Right.
But for this organization, boy, it's pivotal right now because, I mean, I feel bad for Dog Pound Nation. I just want them to get a good product on the field and get some wins and potentially get themselves in a position to make a playoff run here in the next couple of years.
Yep.
So, you know, whoever it is, I just hope John Dorsey makes the right decision for the organization and for the city right now.
I think there's a there's a lot of names that I like. I like Lincoln Riley that I've heard. I like Matt Campbell. Somebody brought up Eric Bieniemy, the former running back. You don't like him?
No, I love Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
One of my high school friends, best coach. He's from New Orleans. Yeah, I love Eric Bieniemy. He doesn't have any Hayes coach experience.
No,
so to come
that's
into
true.
This organization,
but he's worked. He's worked under a great coach in Andy Reid.
I understand.
So I like that. I like. I've heard about the I keep forgetting his name. The Rams quarterback coach. I've heard a lot of good things about him. Pete Carmichael Jr., who's the Saints offensive coordinator. People have mentioned him. But again, we're just throwing names out there. That for one reason or another. And you wonder like, is it? Would you rather have a college head coach or an NFL assistant? Or I guess it depends on the individual.
I mean, if everything seems to be based around making sure Baker succeeds.
Right.
So, like, I agree with you guys here when you say that it has to be somebody who is innovative.
Yes.
Who is forward-thinking offensively.
Yeah. No Greg Williams. He can't be the head coach.
Don't do that to my guy. You know, Greg's my guy. But I know, moving forward after this
forward.
Year,
yeah,
of course, we get
now,
it.
Now, if I'm fine with Greg Williams staying as the DC.
Yeah, for sure.
As long as the coach wants that, because we can't have another situation like we just
right.
had. But if
agreed.
You hire a young, up-and-coming, offensive-minded coach, and he's like, hey, Greg, you just handle the defense? That's cool. I'm fine with that. That's good, and hopefully he would be too. At this point, Greg Williams, I don't even know if he thinks he's going to be a head coach again. Maybe he does. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that Dorsey and Haslam were very clear with him. Listen, this is an 8-game process.
Yes.
We're not guaranteeing you anything moving forward after this. You're going to step in, hold down the fort, and then moving forward after the season, we will make our decision. So I'm sure
that
they didn't promise him anything like that. So he's a big boy. He understands how this works.
Jonathan, good to see you, buddy.
Always.
Glad you're feeling
Jay
better.
Job.
We'll
appreciate
talk to you next week.
Appreciate you guys.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.